But if you found your place, 2 Peter chapter 1, notice with me verse number 5. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he has purged from his old sins. Therefore, or wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." And turn with me to the third chapter, there in 2 Peter. Notice with me verse 14. He says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we do thank you again for the opportunity of being in your house this evening. We thank you for the folks that have come out. And Father, suit a blessing to their hearts, to their minds. Bless their lives, their families, and Father, what they put their hand to do. And just bless our church as we look for up to another year coming up. And Father, we're thankful for that. We want to lift our prayer petition up and thank you for that, and lift the people up that we want to pray for, those that are sick that need healing, those that are looking at surgery or have just come through surgery, and those that have lost dear loved ones. Father, be with those families and be with these situations. And we thank you for just an opportunity to pray to a God who answers prayer. Tonight, we want to, Father, ask that you be with this message. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be with the hearts of the people. Be with my hearts. Be with my lips. Father, strike anything that is not right or contrary to your word. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. Here, there was... In Peter, looking at Peter, we're going to look at Peter just for a second here. There was nothing half-hearted about Peter. The Lord loved Peter, and he knew that when he was trained, he was would serve God with all of his energy. And so Peter was never half-hearted. If you look at Peter and his character in the Bible, the New Testament, he plunged in with all of his might. And a lot of times, what might not be at the right time or the right thing. But you find that Peter later wrote here, we're reading some of this, and called on all who were saved, I'll get it out, to be not half-hearted about their service for God. And you notice what he says here, there's three things that I want to draw your attention to. And if you've noticed, the word that kept coming up in just the few verses that we read was diligence. And I've entitled this Godly Intensity. For Christians today, it's easy to put yourself on the back burner. Our intensity is kind of, it doesn't take much to get our eye, if you please, off of the Savior, off of the work that is set before us as Christians, and the people that we minister to. We just kind of lose sight of it, and we lose our intensity. And so I want to speak or preach for a few moments on godly intensity. And he uses this word here, diligent. He says diligent. And so if you look back in verse 5, he says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." And he wanted these Christians to know something that, listen, you need to, with all, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And so the first thing that we want to look at, number one, is give all diligence to spiritual certainty. Spiritual certainty. You want to be certain, number one, about your Savior. Secondly, you want to be certain about your salvation. Thirdly, you want to be certain about what God or this Bible has commanded us to do as Christians. We lose sight of that, and it's easy to do. It's very easy to do. In our life, anything that you that takes some diligence to do in your life, where it might be dieting, it might be a job that you have, you can lose your vigor or your zeal or your burden, if you please, to do things that are right. It's kind of haphazard, do something, and well, that's good enough. But in the Christian warfare, or the battle, or the life we live, as being a Christian, that's not what we want to do. Satan is waiting for that, and he slips in, begins to throw his darts our way. And if you're not diligent about what God has called you and I to do as Christians, we will land in some hot water, off the beaten path, down into the weeds, and maybe not even having a desire to want to even be or to serve the Lord God who saved us. But let's get back to this first point. Give all diligence to spiritual certainty. Peter wants the saints to carry with them a glowing assurance of their salvation. He knows that there can be no spiritual progress in the Christian life without heart certainty of salvation. Think about that for a moment. He calls upon the saints to be diligent regarding Christian assurance. We're going to look at a few verses here, just a couple. There's hundreds of them in the New Testament on the certainty of our salvation. But think about it just for a moment. If you are not fully certain about your salvation, that God keeps by His power, that God has given you and I, and has given, really, if they receive it, anybody in the whole world, if they but receive His salvation. I think of John 1:12, "To many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." So those that receive Him, He gives them power to become the sons of God. But if you did not have assurance of your salvation, where would that put you? We could apply that. Maybe most of us, pretty much most of us here are married tonight. You think about the certainty of the love of your spouse. Well, if you were uncertain about that, surely uncertain, that would bring some instability in your relationship with your spouse. If you're uncertain about your job, I don't know whether I have a job Monday or not. I don't know if, you know, people worry about their jobs, and some people have jobs where they could get fired on the moment's notice. I think if my brother was talking with Titus, and he worked for a while at the Star, they call the Star Complex there in Dallas, and I don't know if they're winning the Dallas Cowboys. Are they winning? He worked for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't even know where they're at. Where does anybody know they're are they 7-0, 1-0, 2-0, 5-0? I'm sure they're not 8 or 0-8 like the Bengals. But wherever they're at, he worked there. But he said this about that job that he had. He said he was always afraid or had fear of losing his job. If you do something wrong, one wrong thing, or maybe a paperwork wasn't filled out right, his supervisor would be on him, and he said there's always a threat of losing his job. And he said he woke up every day with that fear of possibly losing his job. And he says it wasn't something that they just said or that they verbally could try to give you some fear. They would fire people for rarely, hardly anything. And so they would go through a lot of personnel. And so that's one of the things to be fearful of, not certain on whether you have a job. Well, it's the same way for you and I about our salvation. And there's some things that God has written down that we have that He's given us. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to notice a verse here that is very, very clearly written. And it's a good one to highlight and to have. Here in 1 John, we always like to look at the context or who wrote the book. This is John, and he's writing to Christians. He's not writing to Jews, although there were saved Jews at this time. He's not writing to a specific person or people, set group, other than the brethren, those who were saved. You have to understand, so this is in proper context, and we're looking here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 5 and verse 7, notice with me, we'll read down into verse 13, but it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Keep in mind, this is an apostle who actually was caught up into the third heaven, and God began to reveal to this apostle that of things of the future that would come, and he got to look at them, and Christ or God told him to write him down in a book. And so this is the same man. So when he's writing this, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Notice that the word there, a sidebar, the word is capitalized. It's capitalized because it's personification. It means a person. speaks of a person according to English rules. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now watch verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. We are reading not the witness of men, although God used man to write this by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God's record. And so he says, look, if you'll receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God. What is the witness of God? Let's read it. He says, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not on him hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What is the record of God's Son? The record is what he accomplished on the cross. Let's read on. Let's see. Verse 11, and this is the record, that God hath given us to us eternal life, and his life is in it, and is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So it's written to save people. He says here, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. He wants you to know something of a certainty tonight, that you have, we have eternal life. You say, when does that kick in? He says, thou shalt be saved. It happens the moment you get saved. You say, how do you know that? Because when God calls us home, if you are not saved, you are not going home. The only way you can go home is if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And at that moment, if you live to the rapture, he's going to take you home, and he's going to change your vile body at that moment and to fashion into like his body. But whether you die here, if you're saved, your soul and your spirit go to be with the Lord. He owns them. He has them. And so the eternal life is something that you enjoy. If this wasn't so, he wouldn't have said, I have written unto you that believe on his name, or believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So that's clear, but we're back in Peter. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Now, our text was in 2 Peter, but turn with me to 1 Peter. Let's see if I can find Peter again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Notice what Peter says here, and we'll only run two verses because we need to move into our second point. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 1, but notice with me in verse number 4. Now, he said this was our inheritance. He said that this eternal life was ours. It's written that ye may know that God hath given you eternal life. Now watch something as you develop this. Watch this. 1 Peter chapter 1. These are clear verses. These are extremely clear, very simple. Some people, I think, in English would consider this somewhere around 6th to 8th grade English. This is not overly difficult. Now watch this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance. The passage here is speaking of the election of the saved, eternal security, even at the second advent. This is the context of 1 Peter chapter 1. He's writing to saved people. He's not writing to lost people. Watch this. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Now, your inheritance, you say, what is your inheritance? Well, I know this. What little Bible I know is that the Holy Spirit was what? The earnest down payment of our eternal life, our salvation. The Holy Spirit of God, according to Colossians chapter 2, lives inside of you. Even Romans, or Paul says, know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Why is it the temple of God? Because the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you, especially if you're saved. Now here he says, now this inheritance, what is the earnest? The Holy Spirit. Now watch. To an inheritance incorruptible, it's not able to be corrupted. You say, what does that mean? That means it's a spiritual inheritance. You are a spiritual being upon salvation. Your spirit has been quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit by God. That all was able to be established at the cross. That's why all our salvation and what we hinge and what we preach on is the death, burial, and resurrection. it's important. When you negate that, or when you do away with that doctrine, then this doctrine is done away with. And it starts to, it's a slippery slope. So we see here that it's an inheritance incorruptible. You are not able to corrupt this inheritance. He says undefiled. You are not able by the power of your physical being to defile this inheritance. This is what is written. Now watch this, in that fadeth not away. It's not going to just kind of fall apart as you move on in your life. Remember, he's speaking in the context of time. He's speaking in the context of saved people here on earth. And so this is wonderful news. And I'm looking at the assurance, the certainty of our salvation. Once we've established that, we can move on with intensity. If you're not sure that you're saved here tonight, what kind of intensity do you think you're going to have? Not a lot. You're going to have a lot of doubt, a lot of despondent. You don't know what you're going to do. And so you remain in a state, guess what? Not right where God wants you, right where Satan wants you. And religion is right there with it. But we notice here, now he says, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What is reserved in heaven for you? A whole new home. We just have the earnest, and that earnest is the Holy Spirit, and it's going to take you till the day of redemption according to the Scriptures. That's his job. You say, wow, that is amazing. It's simple as you lay it out. And so we see here just from two verses, 1 John chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, that we are able to be certain about the assurance of our salvation. And so we see we want to give all diligence to the spiritual certainty of our salvation. And this is what the Apostle Peter was speaking of in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, let me read my notes so I don't get too far ahead. Let's look at the second one. Notice with me verses 5 through 8. 5 through 8 here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, he says, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. This can be added to. A lot of times people begin to, they'll have a ministry crisis. They're going to have a ministry crisis, and somebody's going to say something is not going to go right. They're going to get upset. There will be a number of things that can arise. And so you say, what happens? Well, what happens, you might be at knowledge, he says, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. One of these you're going to be lacking in. One of this, most certain, if you're honest with yourself, there'll be something here that you're lacking in that you need to develop, that you need to strengthen, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. It might be brotherly kindness. I know sometimes that's easily to let go of and not be kind to your brothers or sisters in Christ, but he says to brotherly kindness, charity. And so this builds chronologically. But notice with me verses 8, he says, for all these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This knowledge is you're learning something about Jesus Christ. He says, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, I don't know very much about the Bible or very much about God, or I love to hear about it. I love the preaching and teaching. Well, you need to learn. You need to learn. And one of the ways to learn and to grow is to begin to do things, begin to minister. But you're not going to minister very well if you don't have certainty of your assurance. Notice with me now, something here in these verses, there's another diligence that we need to pick up. Secondly, I want to say give all diligence to spiritual continuance. Continuance is the word. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. But continuance speaks of continuing or moving on or consistently doing something, not being inconsistent. So let me bring my notes here. And besides this, the Bible says, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We looked at this list, and it ends in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, learning about the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Peter wants the Christians to whom he writes to make spiritual progress. That is most important. He wants them to go on into Christian maturity. That's where you're actually headed. You're a 10-year-old Christian. You've been saved for 10 years. And you need to move on. You need to move on. Think of a baby. Let's say I think of Lydia. She's getting ready to turn 3 years old. I believe 3 November 9th. and her birthday is right after Esther's, and Esther's is on Tuesday. I got to get this right. If I don't say it out loud, I'll forget about it. But Lydia is getting ready to turn 3. Now, Lydia is learning to be potty. She's working on getting out of diapers, and so that's a little tough there. But she's learning. She doesn't really drink from a bottle too much anymore. She eats with a fork. Now, she didn't when she was first born. Her mother fed her. But you see, she grows by 3, by 4, or 5. She can speak pretty well. And so by 5 or 6, she's changing. She's not going to probably wear diapers anymore. She can get her, well, she already can get herself to the table. She can eat. She knows what she wants, but she begins to learn. It's the same thing. The Bible uses the illustration of a child desiring the sincere milk of the word, growing, that they may grow thereby. He uses the same illustration. We should be. So you're 10 years old and you still have a spiritual bottle, or you're 10 years old and you think you need to spiritually be fed by somebody else, and you don't have a daily diet of spiritual food. Let's say you're 10 or 12 years old in the Lord. You're struggling. What is it? You need to learn. You need to grow. So mature. So this is what Peter is trying to get out of him. He said, look, you need this. This needs to be developed. Peter knows something of the conflict they must face. You're going to face conflicts in your Christian life. Just because you might be a spiritual baby doesn't mean you're not going to have immature battles. You're going to have big battles in your life. And if you're at an immature state in your Christian life, you're going to get swamped. Your vessel, your boat, is going to be overcome by the waves because you don't know what to do. You're immature spiritually, and we can get like that. And it's not good. And so Peter knew this, and he said, look, you need to mature. So Peter knows that there's going to be conflict, and this is what he's going to speak about. He knows that the foe, they must face, and that's Satan, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And he speaks of Satan walking around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so you see that they must be a soldier and be willing and able to stand. He said, but I don't want to fight. You're going to have to learn how to fight. I was thinking of illustrations, and I'm not very good at illustrations, but I remember my instructor. I had a couple years there in some martial arts. I like that stuff. And my instructor he was a physical instructor, and he wasn't just chatty. He liked to get on the mat. He liked to spar or to grapple. And so I remember, reaching about the brown belt, black belt area, and he could always pin me or outscore me, and he was very easily. Of course, he was very good. And so I'd always ask him, what do I need to do? I mean, why I can't seem to win a match. And we'd go for hours grappling and working and going back and forth. And he says, you don't have the right intensity. I said, don't have the right intensity. He said, you need to go up. You need to ramp up your intensity. You don't have enough intensity. You go so far, get you in a chokehold or an arm bar or something, and you tap out too quick. He said, you need to work yourself out of that situation. I thought, but if I, you're going to choke me out, or I'm going to break my arm or something. He said, no, if I don't really have it well enough, you need to work your way through it. Well, in the Christian life, it's the same way. The first little phone call we get, the first little hurdle we go over, and we want to tap out because we don't have the right intensity. This is what we're speaking about tonight, godly intensity for the spiritual warfare that we have. You're going to have to ramp it up. You're going to have to be willing not to force yourself to tap out, to work your way through it. And you know what? My instructor was right. Of course, it took a lot of convincing, but it happened, and he was right. You need to ramp up your intensity. So here in this battle, this warfare, as Christians, give all diligence to spiritual continuance. How should I have continuance in my Christian life? Well, let's look at a verse here. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice with me, I believe I want verse number 14. He says here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. There's no problem with you having assurance of things that you have been learned or taught. You have learned or you have been taught. A lot of times it's religion that teaches you that you do not have assurance or you shouldn't have assurance. You talk to anybody that has spent time in an occult And they will tell you one of the things that is pushed in a cult is that they don't like it when they talk to somebody who has assurance of, number one, their salvation, who has assurance of their calling and election from God. They don't like that. They want it iffy. They want it rocky. Why? It's because they like the game of manipulation. They like to be able to control you. Listen, the only person that should control you, your spiritual life and your physical, is going to be God. It's God. So I thought it was the pastor. I thought it was... No, it's God. It's the Word of God. And so it's all right to have assurance of some things. Here, this is what he's saying. He says, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, this is not from a man. This is from Christ. This is the record that he has given us. All right, and so this is, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't let anybody take that or steal that from you. And so we're speaking here of a spiritual continuance. You say, what are you talking about? He said, look, but continue thou in. And we need to learn to have some continuousness in us to be able to continue on with what we've started. Don't give up, don't quit. Too many of us are wanting to quit or go by the wayside. And that's definitely what we don't need in today's age. And so let's get to our last point, back to 2 Peter, and I want to notice with me, I believe this one was out of chapter 3, he uses this word, diligence. And so look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. So he says, wherefore, beloved, again, our context is saved people, the wording and what he's speaking of, and he's very consistent with his message that he has written down here. And so he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and without blemish. And so we see here, thirdly, give all diligence to spiritual consistency. That is one of the biggest things lacking in the church, in Christians' lives, in families, and individuals that are Christians. I'm speaking people who are Christians. The consistency. One thing that I can look back on, and I'm just now in my 40s, but I can look back on with my parents, both parents, is consistency in the things of the Word, in the things of ministry. And so there wasn't flip-flopping, there wasn't turning. One day it wasn't up and they were saying, well, this is good or this is right or this isn't. And then the next day, this is good and this isn't. And so there was consistency in the home. And that makes for good structure. There should be some consistency in our Christian life. You can continue, you can have continuance. But you can flip-flop and move around. But you can still have the fervor or the zeal to want to do something. But you need some consistency in our life. Give all diligence to spiritual consistency. Let me read my notes here. Peter practiced what he preached. Many saints are strong on doctrine, but weak on practice. Peter believed every Christian should be living godly. Peter didn't play at Christianity. He practiced it. He called upon the saints of God in his second epistle to be at their best. Their dangers were multiplied, and he felt that their energies needed to be expressed in holy endeavors, not fleshly endeavors, not worldly endeavors, and not selfish endeavors. Those are your three big enemies, yourself, the world, and Satan. And so here, many churches call themselves churches, but are nothing more or less than a social club. And so what you'll notice about a social club is they will not want doctrine. That's the number one thing at the top of the list of priority. Church that's playing games, doctrine is out. So that's the first sign of that. So here, neither a church that's moving into ministry or working in ministry, but they're a club. They know little or nothing about the regenerated membership of true believers and a ministry that is separated unto the gospel. That's what Peter is saying. We need to be separated unto the gospel. Listen here, the last one again is giving all diligence to spiritual consistency. How is your consistency with God?
You say, well, I don't know.
Well, we should have some consistency here. You're in and out. 1 week, if you're having a good week, everything works out well, everything's good, we're in. You have a bad week, everything falls apart, and you don't show up, or you don't want to read your Bible, or you don't want to pray, or you're not praying for your brothers and sisters that you know need prayer this week or last week. That's inconsistency. Peter here is telling us, look, we need diligence in these areas. And he says, be diligent that ye may be found of him. And the first thing is peace. That's one of the biggest things, even in Christians, is peace. Having peace. I want peace. I need peace. I don't have any peace in my life. And he says we need to give diligence to this. He said not only peace, but without spot. About living a life that is not spotted with the world. And he says, and blameless. Blameless before God. Confessing sin. These are some very interesting principles to learn to have the principle of consistency in our Christian life. I don't know where you're at tonight, but these three things kind of stood out to me, and I thought, man, this is neat, about this little word of diligence. And he says, besides this, give all diligence. Tonight, I would like to encourage you and challenge you, beside everything else in your life that is going on, give all diligence to your spiritual side. You need to mature properly, not imbalanced. Let's all stand tonight. And if you feel that you're imbalanced, you're more into the side of the flesh and the things that easily wrap us up from time to time, we need to have some balance. How about our spiritual certainty? Certainty about salvation, certainty about doctrine, certainty about your relationships and the importance of them. How about spiritual continuance? Do you have the zeal? Do you have the grit, if you please, to continue on even when the waves get high? Or when the wind, if you please, blows into your life? And then lastly, spiritual consistency. You're going to need some, because somebody's looking at you and watching what you do. And right now, it could be a critical state. It might not seem critical to you, but that person watching you wants to know how you're going to handle the rest of your Christian life. And so we're going to need some consistency to be a good witness for God. Where are you at tonight? Godly zeal. Godly intensity. Pastor.